Well, I'm glad I don't have to go to hell today. Glad I'm saved. Glad there's a God in heaven that sent His Son to die for my sins. So I wouldn't have to go to that awful place called hell. Everybody in this room's on their way to one or two places, heaven or hell. On their way to one or two places. You may be sitting in the room today, if one day you wake up in the pit of the damned, and there you'll be throughout eternity. But you don't have to go. I just want to say that to you. You don't have to go. There's been a way made that you can escape that awful place called hell. So be sure you're saved today. Don't go to hell. Whatever you do, don't go to hell. It's a place I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. Just don't go to hell. Well, I'm kindly drawn a little different way today than salvation. It seemed like the songs have been kind of geared toward salvation. And I'm sure there's some here that need to be saved. But, you know, really all I can do is be obedient to the Spirit of God and preach to you what God has placed on my heart. But sinner, let me just say this. You don't have to go to hell if you don't want to. There's a way of escape. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He came to earth, lived a sinless life, and went to the cross and took your sins upon Himself and shed His blood and died so that you can be forgiven and go to heaven. One day after a while, you need to be saved, sinner. Don't lose sight of that this morning. John chapter number 15. The Lord put this on me really yesterday evening. Kind of late. I don't know. I'm going to give you what the Lord give me, and you can just do with it what you need to. Very familiar text. We refer to it a lot. I do. Verse 5. I think about verse 5 on a regular basis. For without me, you can do nothing. But I want to read the first. I want to pray and then read the first 14 verses and then try to bring you a little truth if I could this morning. Verse 1. Or let me pray and then we'll read. Father, help us this morning. You know the need of the hour. You know what you put on my heart. You know who was going to be here. God, I ask you to help us now. Be glorified and honored and uplifted. If there's anything that would hinder, please refrain it for just a few minutes. And Lord, you do the work that you allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that needs doing in our midst. Help us now, Father. Help me. Lord, I'm unable without you. Please use me to be a blessing to your people. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to preach to you this morning on a life that glorifies God. A life that glorifies God. I want you to notice, and I'm going to read all of the verse, but just before I start reading, I want you to notice in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And so we see the purpose of fruitfulness is to glorify the Lord. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says this, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I believe it would be safe to say that we are here on planet Earth to glorify God. What's my purpose, preacher? Why am I here on planet Earth? What's God want out of me? I mean, what am I supposed to be doing? Can I tell you what the Bible teaches? to glorify God. Simple truth, but profound. I wonder in this room if we are living our lives with the purpose in mind to glorify God. I wonder that. Do you get up and say, Lord, get glory out of my life today and the next day. Lord, get glory out of my life. And Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. And Lord, you direct my steps and lead me in the path I ought to go. And let me touch the people that I ought to touch today for your glory. A life that glorifies God. Here's what it says again in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. How can I glorify God? Well, one way is to bear much fruit. Here's what I want to ask you this morning before we get started. Are you bearing fruit? Are you a fruit-bearing Christian? Do you bear fruit? And so, I want to talk to you about that for a little bit when we look at this chapter in context. Now you remember this, if you don't remember nothing else out of this message, your purpose in life is to glorify God. It's not to make $1 million. It's not to have a life of ease and zine. It's not to live pleasure. It's not to chase your hobbies. It's not to be the best businessman or employee or ball player. It's none of those things. The purpose that God puts you on planet Earth is to glorify Him. That's why you're here. You want a purpose for life? That's it. And so, we see in this text that one way to do that is to bear much fruit. If we're going to glorify God, we've got to bear much fruit. And if we're going to bear much fruit, there's some things that we have to do. And so that's what the chapter is about this morning. Now here's the setting. Here's where the text is at. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. And He's educating His disciples, His apostles, so that when He is gone, they can carry on. Much like what Paul was doing with young Timothy in her lesson this morning, he's educating and teaching them truth about the Christian life so they can carry on when He's gone. Now, up to this point, He's took care of everything. He's looked after them. He's told them where to go. He's told them, hey, go down there and get to catch the fish and pay the taxes and do this and do that. But He's going to be gone now. There's some lessons that they need to learn. And one of them is the truth of fruitfulness. And so I want to look at this thing of fruitfulness. And I want you to ask yourself, is my life a life that glorifies God? And then I want you to ask yourself, what kind of fruit am I bearing? And my, we could say much about that. And I want to say to you, fruit comes in several, it's mentioned in several different manners in the Word of God. Lost souls being saved is defined as fruit in the Word of God. The praise is defined as fruit in the Word of God. Let the words of thy mouth... Well, Hebrews, I believe it is. Got the wrong text. Hebrews, I guess, verse chapter number 13, Brother Steve. Is that where that's at? It talks about our praise being fruit for the Lord. Good works are fruit. Financial giving spoken of as fruit. And then the demeanor of being filled with the Spirit is spoken of as fruit. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering. So when I'm talking about fruit this morning, I think we're thinking of, that's Hebrews 13 and 15. And the financial giving we see in Romans 15 and 28. The fruit of the Spirit, of course, is in Galatians 5 and good works we see in Colossians 1:16. All of that's spiritual fruit. You should have some of that in your life. And so, how do I get there? Here's what some of you would say, Preacher, I'm if you would be honest, I think you would say, Preacher, I'm just not as fruitful as I ought to be. You might say this, Preacher, I'm not sure my life's glorifying God like it ought to. I'm not sure. I don't feel like I'm glorifying God like I ought to. Well, there's some truths we can gain out of this text. I'm convinced. By the way, let me give you some of these definitions before we get started. The husbandman, that's the farmer. That's God. The Bible plainly teaches us that. And my father is the husbandman in verse 1. The vine is Jesus. The true vine is Jesus. Now, a false vine could have been Judaism. There's many false vines you can get hooked into and think you're doing something good for the Lord, and really you're not. The true vine, if you're ever going to do anything, if you're ever going to be fruitful and have fruit that God will recognize, you're going to have to be hooked into the true vine. You better get that. It's going to take more than being a church member. It's going to take more than being a good person. Take more than just having a few morals or convictions about your life. You're going to have to be in the vine. Now, we see the vine is Jesus. The branches I'm going to look at this morning as the saints. You're a branch. That's what you are. You're a branch in this particular picture we're looking at. You're a branch. And then purging. I want you to notice the word, if I can find it here. Verse number 2, He purgeth it. That's a word we don't use too often. That means to cleanse, to purify. We use it a lot. We speak of it with silver. They'll put the heat to silver. And the dross will come up. And all of you have heard this preached. Dross will come up and they'll scrape that dross off. And they'll purify that silver and that heat. We'll purify. But when it comes to the vine and the branches, we are purified by being cut off. This word purging means to cut off, to cleanse, to prune, if I can use that word. I've got a grapevine. I'm not a very good grapevine grower. I've had it 2 or 3 years. And everybody says you just turn them loose and they just grow. Mine hasn't. And got to reading about what I need to do, and they said, you go back and where the vine is big as a pencil, you leave that, but if it gets less than the thickness of a pencil, you cut that away because the growth is on the new vines. And so I go out there last year and I cut off everything that wasn't as big as a pencil. I cut it off. It looked real pitiful, but it sure did help it in the spring. And what I was doing, I was purging. I was cutting away some things that was not going to be beneficial to my vines. And so that's what pruning means, to cut away, to cleanse, to get rid of things that's not beneficial. Now really, those branches I cut off, they were healthy. Brother Aaron, they wasn't diseased. Oh no, they wasn't really, they wasn't anything wrong with them. I mean, some of them had... Boy, I thought I was hurting them things. Some of them had the biggest, prettiest leaves. And really, can I say, sometimes things need to be purged. And it's really, you can't say, well, preacher, that's wrong in my life. It may not be a sin, but it may hinder you. It may cause you to lose focus. It may be something somebody else can do and you can't do. But it has to go, you see. And so that's what purging is. Now this thing abides. We talk about abiding in the vine. To abide means to stay in a given place. To continue there. To dwell. It speaks of a period of time. It's not just there and out. It's a remaining, if I can say it that way. And so this abiding, I want to speak of it this morning in the sense of fellowship. not so much in the sense of losing your salvation. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking to the apostles. They're all saved. That's not the issue. We're talking about fruitfulness in the Christian life. That's what he is talking about. But I want you to see some possibilities. The first thing I want to look at is possibilities. What can you do with your life? Every one of y'all's got a life to live, and you're going to waste it on something. Some of you is going to waste your life working. You're going to waste your life away working. There's folks waste their life away on the mission field. And I don't mean, I'm not using that in a negative sense. I mean expend their life. I'm talking about exerting their life, giving their life to. Some of you is going to give your life to the job. Some of you is going to give your life to this or to that. And here's what I'm asking you this morning. What's the possibilities for your life? What are you going to? Some of us, we've already given a good part of our life. I mean, really, we're on the back side of the thing as far as that goes. But some of you have a long life, and you're going to give it to something. Some give it to drugs. Some give it to crime. Some give it to a job. Just fill in the blank. And so, what is the possibilities? In our text, we see two possibilities. Number one, you can be in fellowship. You can be abiding in the vine. But I want you to notice this. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, we know that's not salvation. We know that has to be fellowship. I mean, that's all it can be. He takes away. You're either, hey, can I tell you what the possibility for your life is? You need to be in fellowship with God, or you can be out of fellowship with God. There's no other alternatives. Every one of you today, you're either in fellowship with God, or you're out of fellowship with God. You can look at me and say, preacher, you're either in fellowship with God, or you're out of fellowship with God. You either have a relationship with Him, you and Him are on talking basis, or you don't. Or you're not, I should say. And so that's the possibility. There's no middle ground. You say, I'm a good person, I just don't have time fellowship with God. Hey, I'm saying either you're in fellowship or you're not in fellowship today. And if you're not in fellowship, you're not right with God. Just how it is. Well, there's a possibility. You're either abiding or you're not abiding in the vine. You're not abiding. There's some things that can't happen. Really, you can't glorify God. You really can't bear much fruit. There's some things. Are you abiding? Are you abiding? I'm just giving what God gave me. Why, this sobers me up. Either you're fruitful or you're unfruitful. Well, you say, now preacher, and we're going to get there in just a minute. This is progressive. There's more fruit, much fruit, more fruit. I understand that. But you're either bearing some fruit or you're not bearing fruit. You're either fruit bearing or you're not. My, I think there's something to be said. Do you want your life just to be a bust? I never forget what Brother Rain said. He had some young folk on the front. They were from some rough homes, and he said this. He said, I tell you what I'd do. If I was you, I'd just waste my life like your parents did. That's what he said to them. You say that was harsh and that was cold. I'll tell you what I think. I think it might have helped some of them. Can I tell you, you can waste your spiritual life, your spiritual potential, your ability to glorify God. You can throw it down the drain if you choose to. You're either abiding in Him or you're not abiding. You're either fruitful or you're unfruitful. And you're either going to allow God to purge your life or you're going to say, no, I'm not going to heed what He has to say. That's the way it is. There's no middle ground in the area of fruitfulness. Now really, if you want to be lukewarm, I probably don't even need to be preaching to you today. That's the honest truth. If you just want to coast through this thing and ride it out, and just do it your way, and you've already drawn the line, this is how I'm going to do and how I'm going to finish up. You probably could have done just as well stay at home. But this is for people who really want their life to glorify God. I just wonder in this room, is there somebody? Is there somebody who really wants their life to count for God? What does it matter if you kill a thousand deer, or you catch a trophy bass, or you can hit a hole in whatever hole? What does it really matter when it's all said and done? But can I tell you, what you do for the Lord will have eternal consequences. That's why it's so important. You say, my life has no purpose. Yes, it does. If you're saved, you're here to glorify God. And what I'm trying to say to you, there's some possibilities. It's your choice. It's your choice. I can't come back there and drill a hole in your head and pour it in. I can't handcuff you and make you do right. It's your choice what you do with your life. Some of you have chose the lukewarm life. Man, I just want to enjoy both, and you're losing out on both. What it amounts to. Well, if you're interested in your life glorifying God, if you're interested in bearing good fruit for the glory of God, let's look at some little truths this morning. I want you to notice there's a period of unfruitfulness that's tolerated by the Savior. I want you to notice verse 2. Every branch in me, this branch is in Him that beareth not fruit. That beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Now here's what I'm saying. There is a period that God is tolerant with His children, and He's understanding that they're not mature enough, they haven't grown up enough, they're not maybe spiritually educated enough to bear fruit, and He tolerates that for a while. Some of you may have been riding on that. You may have been there. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 13 with me for just a minute. In Luke chapter 13 and verse number 6, the Bible says this: He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Looking for fruit, he didn't find, did he? Hey, has the Lord been by your way to see if you're putting out any fruit? Has He? Has He come by your way to check up on you? See if there's any fruit? Then, verse 7, then said He unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Said, I've been coming around here for 3 years looking for fruit. I ain't found any fruit. No fruit. I wonder what he finds when he looks at the Ridgeview Baptist Church. When he looks at Pastor Sexton. When he looks at the deacons and the leaders of this church. Here's a fella come to this tree every year to check out the fruit. No fruit. And he answering, verse 7, then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years have come seeking fruit on the fig tree, find none. Here's what he said, cut it down. Cut it down. Don't want to fool with it no more. Just cut it down. It's not bearing fruit, I'm going to cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? He answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, if it bear fruit well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. It doesn't say it in the same words, but here it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. He breaks your fellowship. He lets you wither up. I won't say die, because I know we're eternally saved, but I say He'll let you wither away and just be an old withered vine that's not fit for anything. But for a while, you can get by with it. Maybe, just maybe, in this congregation, there's some of you who you've been a babe. And you've really not known, and you had a want to, and you, times went on, you've been a babe, you've been a babe. But now it's fruit bearing time. Now it's time for you to step up and bear fruit. And here's what I'm saying to you. It's your choice. It's your choice. You say, well, there's some things the Lord has to do. Yes. But I want you to know, you've got to do your part in this thing. And so here's what we see. He's looking at the branches, and the Bible says this, if there's no fruit, he just takes it away. He just puts them, can I say it this way? He just puts them on the shelf. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Oh my. You mean he starts taking, I'm bearing fruit for the Lord, I'm doing some things, and he starts taking things out of my life because I'm serving him? You got it. That's it. Some of you, it's been years since the Word of God's been preached, and you said, that's got to go in my life. You know I'm telling you right this morning. Now some of you, if you'd be honest, you'd say, preacher, that needs to go in my life. You're serving God. There's a little fruit there. Can I tell you what God will do if you're really serious about your life glorifying Him and bearing much fruit? He'll say, cut that out of your life. Cut this out of your life. Cut this part of the branch out. You know why He does that? You know why He's cutting that out? You know why he takes people that's serving God and makes them give up more than people who's not? You know why other people can do and you can't? Because you're fruitful and he purges you and they're unfruitful and he's going to leave them alone. If you're fruitful, you can be sure of this. God will start cutting things out of your life. That needs to go out of your life. That's the way it is. That country music you're listening to, that needs to go. Well, that got quiet. I guess it's quiet anyway. That unfaithfulness, that needs to go. That lukewarmness, that needs to go. He's going to start cutting things out of your life. What needs to go out of your life? Be honest with you. You say, preacher, it's not a sin. Is it hindering you in being more fruitful? What needs to go out of your life? You say, well, why does he purge? I mean, what's the deal on that? I mean, I'm already sideways on my notes this morning. Let me just preach to you for a little while. Why is it he purges? I mean, there was that fellow that's in the vine, and he just let him stay in the vine for a while, even though he's unfruitful. He hadn't grown. You don't treat a little baby like you do a 10 or 12 or 14, 15-year-old. Little baby cries back there and makes a lot of noise. Hey, there ain't nobody says nothing to them. They're a baby. They don't know any better. But you let that be a big old boy or girl, something's going to be said about it. You get up 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, it's time to learn how to behave. You treat them different. And the Lord, after a while, expects more out of your life. You can't play baby all your life in the work of the Lord. You can't be a spiritual baby kicking around the playpen, be pleasing to God. Here he does a work on this vine that's producing fruit. You might have thought he took the vine that wasn't producing fruit and pruned it to try to get it to have fruit, but he's wrote it off. He's wrote it off, and he's working on the fruitful vine to make it more fruit. God's been working your life. What do you need to get out of your life? Let's just lay everything on the table. What needs to go out of your life? What's God put His finger on and says, hey, that needs to go? He's trying to purge you. He's trying to prune you. He's trying to make you, instead of just be fruitful, He's trying to make you so you'll bring forth more fruit. He's not taking that away to be mean to you. He's not taking that away to make your life miserable and make you just struggle through life. He's trying to help you. He's purging you. He's purging you. I'm afraid we live in a day where we hear the preaching and we say, good preaching, preacher. I appreciate what you preach. It's the truth. And we go out the door and we never make application to our life. How long has it been since you've had to purge something out of your life? What does God want you to purge out of your life? There's a purging. There's a purging that goes on. Sometimes He can purge us through suffering. Sometimes through persecution. Different ways He purges. In this case, He purges us, verse 3, through the Word of God. I want you to notice verse 3. Now you are clean. That's what purging does. It cleans you. It purifies you. Now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Can I tell you how you'll clean up? Can I tell you how God will purge you as a general rule? He'll set you under a man of God that will preach the Word of God to you. And then you hear the Word of God and you say, God, you're right and I'm wrong. And I'm going to change my life to line up by the Word of God. That's how He does it. I mean, it's not anything bad. He may do some purging this morning if you're serious about serving Him. He may do some purging in your life this morning if you're really serious about it. Oh, mind, if you won't allow Him to purge you, can I say, it may be you become fruitless. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. It may mean you live defeated Christian life your whole life. But can I say how He purges you as a rule? Through the Word of God. The preacher will be preaching. It may not even be the message. It may just be a little side note. And the Holy Ghost will say, hey, that's you. It needs to go. And you need to clean up your life. You see, if your life is going to bring glory to Him, you're going to have to bear much fruit. And if you're going to bear much fruit, you've got to go through the more fruit stage, if I can use that phrase. And that only comes through purging. You will not bring glory to God without Him taking things out of your life. It may not necessarily be sin. It may be a hindrance. It may be a weight that it speaks of it. Is it Hebrews it talks about? Let us lay aside every... I can't remember the text location right now. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. I believe that's Hebrews. It may just be a weight. God will purge your life. Be sure of this. If you're really serious and your life is going to count for God, He will purge your life. He will purge you. And He'll tell you. And it won't be a guesswork. You'll know it needs to go. It needs to go out of your life. Oh, and there's something sitting here. I believe with all my heart I'm feeling the unction this morning. There's something sitting here and there's some things you need to purge out of your life. You need to get it out. You need to let God cut it out of your life. And He will if you allow Him to. And He'll take you on. See, this thing of much fruit didn't happen overnight. Oh, no, it wasn't an overnight thing. Hey, you don't get saved today. You start bearing much fruit tomorrow. No! No! 1,000 times no. There's a process you go through. Fruit and more fruit. And much fruit. The Lord wants to purge you. The Lord wants your life to bring glory to Him. He wants you to bear much fruit. He's a purging. I want you, well, I started to take you to John 17 and 17 where it said, well, let me just read it to you. Sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify means make them clean. Separate them. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We see that little truth. And then we see that purging's not enough. Purging's not enough. It's right for you to put things out of your life. It's the right thing. And here's what you say, well, nobody else is. That's because their life's not going to count. Unless it's in a small way. God wants more for you than to be ordinary. There's things other preachers do I can't do. I could tell you some liberty they have. I don't have that liberty. I just don't have that liberty. I've seen preachers get up and it's like a comedy show. I don't have liberty to try to be funny. I could be if I wanted to, but I don't have that liberty. This is, hey, can I tell you, this is a life and death business we're in today. Nothing funny about it. What you decide is going to determine maybe the outcome of the souls. And you're playing around with Christian service and souls are at stake. How silly are we? How foolish are we? We sell the Lord out for sports and for overtime and for whatever else, campgrounds and politics and whatever else, fill in the blank, and souls are dying and going to hell. There's a process. It starts with being in Christ in verse 2, purging in the latter part of verse 2. But then I want you to notice in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. There's too much man effort in this thing today. That's how it is, Brother Ronnie. Preachers preach, they have the perfect outline. Every point's alliterated, every sub-point's alliterated. They've got it all. I mean, the English is right. Every word's well thought of. But they've left God out of it. They've left God out of it. You'll never bear much fruit unless you abide in Him. And you will not abide in Him unless you have a personal one-on-one relationship with Him. Do you know Him? Do you know Him one-on-one? Do you talk to Him every day? Read His Word and let Him talk to you? Do you and understand this Word, and let me use it in the right way. Do you all have intimacy? Do you tell Jesus things you wouldn't tell nobody else? Oh, I can tell him, Brother Allen, he's never told a soul. He always listens. He always has time. Here's what I'm saying. He said, first of all, there's got to be a purging in your life. Then there's got to be an abiding. There's got to be a fellowship. How do you have fellowship? Can I just go to what I sometimes call the fellowship book, 1 John? You have to deal with the sin in your life. You can't have fellowship unless you confess your sins. And the Bible says what? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You know what we do? We sin, we just go on. Then Sunday morning, before we're going to teach a class, or before we're going to preach, I've had to repent on Sunday morning before. Well, you can say what you want. I'm not a super saint. I've got a flesh like you've got. Has me and Karen ever had words before church? We sure have. I've had to tell her I'm sorry before I started preaching. You have unconfessed sin in your life. You're not abiding. It breaks fellowship. You love the brethren, right? You don't love the brethren. How can you love God who you have not seen if you don't love your brother who you see? I'm not trying to quote the Scripture. I'm just trying to get that truth across to you. If you don't love your brother and sister, how in the world can you love God who you haven't seen? That's what the Bible says. People go around with an old grudge, acting like a little kid, two little kids in a sandbox, fussing and fighting. That's a stink in the nostrils of God. Well, love right. If you don't love right, you're not abiding. You're not abiding. You ought to love right. You've got to have the truth. That's the three truths out of 1 John. If you go there and really, there's a lot of truth in there, but that's three of the primary subjects is truth and love and dealing with repentance, dealing with sin, whatever you want to call it. That's all 1 John. If you want to abide in Him, you've got to take care of those three areas. If you're lacking any of them, you've got to get them right. You've got to get them right. Hey, and can I tell you a fourth one out of our text? You've got to be fruitful. You've got to be fruitful if you're going to abide in the vine. You've got to abide in Him. Much fruit. Let me just say it this way. From continual abiding with Him. Let me tell you what a preacher said in our Bible conference. Some of you wasn't here and it may have been of a morning. And some of you will remember it. He said it's not easy to pray, but it is to pray. It's difficult to pray consistently. It's not easy to read your Bible, but it's hard. It's not hard. Maybe that's the way he said it. It's not hard to pray. But it's hard to pray consistently. It's not hard to read your Bible, but it's hard to read your Bible consistently. And I want to say this, it's not hard to abide in the vine, but it's hard to abide in the vine consistently. That's right. I'm telling you right. And here's the burden of my heart. I've got some more, or I've got another page or two here. The plight of unfruitfulness, the prerequisites, purpose. I'm through this morning. Here's the burden on my heart. Are you living a vain, useless life? You living a vain life. What you're doing now, is it even going to count? Is it going to matter one minute after death? Is it going to matter? You want your life to count. Do you really? Some don't. You know, that's the saddest thing to me. Some really don't want any more God than they've got right now. They don't want to be any more fruitful. They don't want to be. They just don't want Him. But do you? Do you? Do you want more of God? Do you want your life to count? When I leave here, I hope my life's meant something for the glory of God. Otherwise, I'm an ultimate failure. Ultimate failure. I have no money. I have no popularity. I have no big following. All the things that the world's after, I don't have that. If my life's not meant anything for God, then you're looking at probably the biggest failure you've ever seen. The biggest failure. How about you? You want your life to count. And I do mine. I don't know. That's what God gave me, church. I don't know if you need purging. You're at the purging stage. You're at the abiding stage. But we're going on with God. If your life's going to bring glory to God, you're going to have to be purged. You're going to have to abide in Him. And you're going to have to progress. It's not going to be overnight, but you're going to take it a step at a time. And when He puts His hand on it, you're going to get it out. You're going to get it out. You're going to get it out. You're going to cultivate that relationship between Him and you. And if you'll do that and you're serious, one day it'll be said about you, He bore much fruit for the glory of God. Brother Allen, come to the music. I just want you to bow your heads this morning. I don't know. Sometimes I feel so burdened. And I preach to you, and it seems it just falls on deaf ears. And I don't know. I don't know what God wanted to do this morning. But God's speaking to your heart. Would you be obedient? Would you yield to Him this morning? I know we're proud. Nobody wants anybody to know. Maybe they're struggling spiritually. I understand that. But you know what? The first thing, I believe Andy read it this morning, seven things the Lord hates, the seven abominations. One of them was a proud look. Maybe the first one, I'm not sure. A proud look. Would you lay your pride aside, and if God spoke to you, would you come this morning? Would you just say, Lord, I want my life to count. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know why the Lord wants me to preach this to good people like you. But I'm pretty sure He did. I could feel His touch on me while I was preaching. Why don't you come if God spoke to you? Brother Allen's going to say, God helps those that be honest-hearted. You know that. Here's what David said. Old Nathan said this, you're the man. And David said, I've sinned. Would you be honest this morning? God's dealing with your heart. Let's purpose in our heart that we're gonna allow Him to purge us. And that we're gonna abide in Him. And that we're gonna have much fruit. Sing to us, brother.